Coming up next, David Fettes' last program on the Back to God Hour. In this farewell broadcast, David will reflect on 16 years as the Back to God Hour speaker, give some final reminders of what is most important, and offer a parting prayer for listeners based on one of the Bible's most precious prayers. This is the Back to God Hour, looking at life in light of the Bible and exploring God's answers to our questions. Our host is David Fettes, and our topic today is a parting prayer.
This is my last Back to God Hour program, and it's hard to say goodbye. My first radio program aired in January of 1991. I was 29 years old at the time. Now 16 years have flown by, and I'm 45. Not quite ancient, but not as young as I used to be. The past 16 years have been full of blessing. It's been a joy for me to speak of Jesus on the radio and invite people to walk with God. It's also been a joy to hear from so many of you. I've read thousands of emails and letters, and I've had thousands of conversations on the telephone. I've preached in hundreds of churches, as well as in prisons and public auditoriums, so I've met lots of you face to face. God has given me the privilege of touching many lives and of being touched by many of you. I thank God, and I thank all of you who have connected with me in one way or another over the years. My time as Back to God Hour host has been so rich and satisfying that it's hard for me to let go. But let go I must. 2 years ago, I informed my board that I would be leaving the Back to God Hour, but I agreed to continue speaking on the program until arrangements could be made for new programming. Now the time has come to complete the transition. I've been studying for a doctorate in intercultural studies, and I've accepted a position as director of the Center for Advanced Studies at Crossroad Bible Institute. Crossroad offers Bible studies and personal mentoring through the mail to thousands of people in over 60 countries. Crossroad specializes in ministry to those in prison. In my new work, I will help prepare Bible-based lessons for Crossroad students and provide training for Crossroad instructors. I'll research and write about what the gospel says to people in prison, what the Bible says about the justice system and the wider society. I'll also preach in prisons and churches and anywhere else that God gives me opportunity. I look forward with excitement to new opportunities, and I look back with gratitude. When I first went on the radio at age 29, I was nervous. Dr. Joel Niederhood had been the longtime speaker on the Back to God Hour, and I had enormous respect for him. In fact, I grew up hearing his voice almost every Sunday. My parents were faithful listeners and loved his messages. When Dr. Niederhood and the Back to God Hour invited me to become his successor on the radio, I felt overwhelmed by the honor and the challenge. Joel Niederhood became a friend and a mentor, and he gave me much encouragement, but it was still scary for me, to take over the program on which Joel had spoken the gospel so well for so long. I felt like I was only a kid. I was a farm boy whose worst grade in college was in speech. Who was I to take over from a master communicator? I didn't try to match Joel or sound like his clone. I just tried to speak God's message as best I could, and I trusted God to make good things happen. Many good things have happened. People who did not know Jesus have put their faith in him and received eternal life. People found answers to their questions and strength to face challenges. Christians grew in their faith. The broadcast expanded its outreach to English-speaking people overseas, especially in Nigeria, and God's work among Africans has been marvelous. About 12 years ago, the Back to God Hour began to partner with Crossroad, and since then Crossroad has expanded dramatically, from a few hundred students to its current level of more than 38,000 students around the world. I praise God for all that He has done in spite of my limits and faults. I know that many people have upheld this ministry in prayer, and I've seen God's answers to those prayers, so thanks for praying. A lot can happen in 16 years in ministry and in family. Back in 1991, my wife Wendy and I had been married only a few years. Now we've been married more than 20 years. Our oldest child was just a toddler back then. Now she's 19. We can't afford to feel too old, though. We now have 8 children, including a baby, so we still have lots of parenting ahead of us. God is good. As I leave the Back to God Hour, my heart is full of thanks for past blessings, and full of hope for future possibilities. As I say farewell, I want to leave you with some final reminders and a parting prayer. Some of you have listened to this program for many years, and others have heard it rarely or are hearing it for the first time today. I can't squeeze into a few minutes everything I'd like to say, but let me highlight a few basics that I've emphasized over the years, things that you must never forget or ignore. First, God is God. God is real. God is magnificent. God is good. God is wise. God is more important than everybody and everything else in the universe. God is God. You're not. I'm not. God is God, worthy to be worshiped and obeyed. Second, you are created in God's image and designed to find fulfillment in relationship to God. You are not an accident of random evolution. You are specially created to reflect God. You're not junk. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. Believe that you are God's creation and seek harmony with the Creator and everyone else that He has made. Third, you've sinned against God and you need a Savior. You must repent of your sins and trust that Jesus died to pay for your sins. That's the only way to be forgiven and receive eternal life. It's not fashionable to say that Jesus is the only way. It's not popular to talk about hell, but hell is real, and unending anguish awaits all who die without Jesus. Only Jesus saves. I say to you what the Apostle Paul once said as part of his farewell to some people. I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. If you go to hell, it won't be my fault for not warning you or for not calling you to Jesus. I'm innocent of your blood. Whatever my shortcomings, I've called you back to God, and I've warned what will happen if you refuse. Fourth, God claims every part of your life, not just an hour on Sunday, not just a small corner of your heart, but all of you. Jesus gave His all for you, so give your all to Him. Your love, your abilities, your career, your family, your friendships, your hobbies, in everything you do, aim to please God and to serve others. As God claims you, He claims the whole world and everything in it. Be His witness, His agent for reclaiming and renewing His world. Do this in fellowship and partnership with God's special community, the church. Church is not an option. It's a necessity for being part of God's mission in the world. Fifth, keep your eyes on the prize. Seek to know Jesus in fellowship with His suffering and in the power of His resurrection, and pray to be filled with His Holy Spirit. This is the start and the foretaste of eternal life. I've often spoken of God's new creation, of heaven coming to earth when Jesus returns. My words can hardly give a hint of the joy and beauty that awaits God's people, but I urge you to keep treasuring God's promises and keep meditating on eternal life in Christ. And one last reminder, truth is truth. It's popular nowadays to talk about being spiritual without believing anything in particular. But God has spoken truth in the Bible. Keep reading the Bible and keep praying to God for wisdom. Hold to the truth. Don't be led astray by lies. Jesus warned against wolves in sheep's clothing, and Paul also warned that wolves from within the church itself would deny God's truth and damage God's flock. Over the years, I've warned about false teaching, and I'll say one last time, beware of wolves. Stay close to the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus, be strong in the Lord and resist the devil. Since this is my final Back to God Hour message, I want to impress these vital things upon you. But even more important than what I say to you about God is what I now want to say to God about you. I want to offer a parting prayer for all who hear my voice. My prayer comes from Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 21. It's a biblical prayer that's very dear to me, one I've memorized and often meditated on. It's a prayer that I often pray for myself, and now it is my prayer for you. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. That's my prayer for you, that God's Spirit would strengthen your inner being, that Christ would make his home in you, that you may experience the vibrant life of Christ and move into fuller, more intimate knowledge of the love of Christ. As God answers this prayer and fills you with Christ's life and love, you will be filled to overflowing with God's fullness. In a moment, I'll expand on this prayer, but first, a song about the vastness of God's love. Here's Dallas Holm.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pen bowed down with care. God gave his son to bear. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from. Shall forever
I'm David Fettis, and on this, my final Back to God Hour broadcast, my parting prayer is that you will know the love of God that is beyond knowledge and experience the peace of God that surpasses understanding. My parting prayer for you is powerful, not because I'm the one praying it, but because God is the one hearing it. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Only God can make this happen. It doesn't depend on our resources, but on God's riches. The human spirit can't do it, but the Holy Spirit can. The Holy Spirit isn't a vague power that lies hidden in every person that we can find just by looking deep inside ourselves. The Holy Spirit is a person, the third person of the Trinity, along with God the Father and Christ the Son. Having the Spirit isn't a matter of being in touch with ourselves, but of being in touch with God. The Holy Spirit creates faith. He shakes us out of our complacency and convicts us of our sin and our need for forgiveness. He convinces us of the truth of Christ. He brings us from death to life. He creates true faith. And when that faith is established, the Spirit makes us aware of His presence and remodels us into a dwelling for Christ. I pray that the Father, through the Holy Spirit, will make your heart a dwelling for Christ. If you're to be a home for the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, you need constant reinforcement and remodeling. Just as a house needs floors that are strong enough to bear the weight of people and beds and heavy furniture, so your heart needs the strength to bear the infinite weight of Christ living in you. Only His Spirit can give you the capacity and power to be a dwelling for Christ. What a marvel it is that the eternal Son of God would make Himself at home in you. If you trust in Jesus, then the Christ who lives in heaven lives also in you through faith. I pray that He will flood your whole being with awareness of Him. When Christ dwells in you, it's not just abstract or theoretical, but real and dynamic and glorious. It's one thing to look at a picture of a beach. It's quite another to actually be there, to gaze in awe at the seemingly endless expanse of water, to breathe in the air, to hear the splashing and crashing of waves and the piercing cries of seagulls, to feel the hot sun on your back and the warm sand between your toes, and then plunge in and swim about in that vast and refreshing coolness. Faith in Christ isn't just a matter of looking, but of living and experiencing the presence and peace and joy of the Christ who lives in us. This indwelling isn't just a one-time experience, but an ongoing relationship. When two people get married, they share the same home right away. But if it's a healthy marriage, the longer they're together, the more they're at home with each other. Moving into a home may be a one-time event, but feeling at home together is a growing, lifelong process. In the same way, when we come to faith in Christ, He moves into our hearts then and there. But that's not the end of the matter. With each passing day, Christ makes Himself more and more at home in us, and we become more and more attuned to Him. I pray that the indwelling Christ will help you to know Him as He is, to love what He loves, to do what He does, until you are wholly His. In my parting prayer, I also pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. If we had to describe God in just one word, what would it be? Love. The Bible says God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. When Christ dwells in us, we are rooted and established in love. Like a plant that draws nourishment from the soil, we are nourished by roots that draw from the rich soil of love. Like a building that depends on a strong foundation, we are established on the foundation of love. We are rooted and established in love. God's infinite love is something you need to grasp, not just by yourself, but together with all the saints. A relationship with Christ is always personal, but it's never private. God's love is much bigger than your own experience. You're not the only one who's been touched by His love. Other Christians have also experienced God's love, and your awareness of Christ's love grows much richer when you hear others' stories, when you share and delight in God's love for all His people. So I pray that God will deepen your connection with other believers, and that together you may know how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. How wide is God's love in Christ? As wide as the world. God's love is wide enough to embrace people of every color and nation and background and bring them together in one church. And His love is wide enough to include the rest of creation as well. As the Bible says, O Lord, You preserve both man and beast. How priceless is Your unfailing love. The earth is filled with Your love, O Lord. How long is God's love in Christ? It stretches from eternity past to eternity future. God says in the Bible, I have loved you with an everlasting love. From everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear Him. For He chose us in Christ before the creation of the world. In love He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. His love endures forever. That's how long His love is. How high is God's love in Christ? The Bible says, For great is Your love, higher than the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. The height of God's love lifts us unimaginably high. Ephesians 2 verse 6 says that God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. God adopts us as His children, as sons and daughters of the King. We become princes and princesses who reign with the Lord forever. That's how high we soar on the wings of His love. How deep is God's love in Christ? Jesus plunged all the way down to the darkest depths of sin and death and hell in order to rescue us. His love reaches to the very lowest of the low. God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I pray that you will know personally in your own life and experience how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. It's great to read a love story or to hear what other people say about love, but it's even better actually to love and to be loved, to see it in each other's eyes, to tell each other, I love you. To hold each other in a tender embrace, to enjoy giving each other gifts and doing things that make each other happy. The experience of love registers in your mind, of course, but it also grips your heart and floods your whole being. Likewise, it's great to read about God's love in the Bible and to know in your mind, on the basis of what Jesus has said and done, that He loves you enormously. Your relationship to Him would never reach even that point unless the Holy Spirit was already at work inside you, giving you faith and a measure of new life. But I pray that it won't stop there. I pray that God will move you to know Jesus more intimately, to sense His presence more powerfully, to embrace a love that surpasses knowledge, and to be filled with God's fullness. I pray that you'll live by the energy and strength of the Almighty and not by your own power. Have you ever watched a little child playing with a stick horse? She bounces around the house pretending to ride the horse, but actually that stick horse isn't carrying her at all. She's carrying it. That's what it's like when I try to do God's work in my own power. I busily race here and there with a stick horse of religious duties and tasks to carry around, and all the while I pretend that it's carrying me. What I really need is the living Holy Spirit, like a splendid horse, to carry me forward in the Lord's great cause. I pray that God won't let you settle for stick horse religion. That kind of religion doesn't carry you. You carry it. It may be a fun game for a while, but it's not the reality of the living God. Seek not the stick horse, but living reality. Seek to be carried along by the mighty stallion of God's love in Christ. British pastor Martin Lloyd-Jones put it well. The man who knows the love of Christ in his heart can do more in an hour than the busy type of man can do in a century. As I reach the end of a chapter in my ministry, I feel all the more how little I can do and how much God can do. In my 16 years on the Back to God Hour, there have been many things that could have been done better by someone of greater holiness or greater intelligence, many areas in which I was lacking. Yet I know that beneath and beyond all that I've done, the Lord has been at work and will continue to work, and I praise Him for that. Sometimes when we pray, we hope that God might be able to do at least a little of what we ask. But God can do all that we ask. Other things we hardly dare ask. We only imagine. But the Lord can do all that we ask or imagine. And we still haven't reached the limit. God can do more than all we ask or imagine. And not just a little more, but immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. God has power unlimited. And what's more, if we belong to God, that power has already begun working within us, ordinary and imperfect though we are. The Spirit of God brings His power to bear in our hearts and lives. It is power to house the living Christ. It is power to know the love of Christ. It is power to be filled with God's fullness. It is power unlimited. It is with confidence in the power of the Almighty that I offer my parting prayer for you and my parting praise to God. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the Church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
You've been listening to the Back to God Hour with David Fettes. Today's message was entitled, A Parting Prayer. Our messages can be read or heard anytime on the internet at backtogod.net. If you'd like a free printed copy of today's message, just write to us and ask for the message called A Parting Prayer. Our address is the Back to God Hour, Box 557755, Chicago, Illinois 60655. Or call 1-888-736-2870. If you prefer a cassette or CD of the broadcast, you may request one for $5. And when you contact us, please include the call letters of this station. We'd like you to know about our daily devotional booklet called Today. It contains a Bible reading and meditation for each day of the week. To request a free copy of Today, write to us at the Back to God Hour, Box 557755, Chicago, Illinois 60655, or call 1-888-736-2870. The Back to God Hour is a global media ministry reaching a diverse worldwide audience. For more information about all our ministries, visit our website at backtogod.net. We would love to hear from you. If you have any questions or comments, or if you'd like to leave a prayer request, please email us at faithline@backtogod.net. Or call our faith line at 1-888-736-2870. The Back to God Hour is the media ministry of the Christian Reformed Church.